Welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect the views of Strong Tower Radio, West Central Michigan Media Ministries, or its employees.
Hello and welcome to Strong Tower Radio, People with a Purpose. It's a program that we interview people and their walk and their interests and their spiritual life to share with our listeners. So today we have Stephen and Ken, and my co-host is Kendra Maynor. Welcome to our program, Kendra.
Thank you, Tom. Pleasure to be here today.
And we're glad to have you. You've produced this particular program with Stephen. So why don't you give a brief introduction and then we'll have a word of prayer.
All right. So Stephen Akin, I have seen quite a bit of his work, and he has just blessed so many. I know personally he's blessed people, so I thought that this would be a wonderful opportunity to bless all those listening that are not aware of his work and what he does.
Absolutely. And you may have seen it and didn't recognize, but you could put a name with his description, and just appreciate his work even more to the glory of God.
Amen.
And Kendra, she does voice work for us. She does the public service announcements and also the spots, the promotional spots every other week here on Strong Tower Radio. And we're giving her more projects. You'll hear more from her coming up probably in the third quarter of 2026. So Kendra, would you lead us with a word of prayer?
Absolutely. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity that we have to come and glorify you and all of our talents that you have given us. And thank you so much for the talents you have given Stephen. And as we conduct this interview with him, that you will bless all that are listening and just be with us. And may our words be from you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Well, Kendra, since you're producing this program, why don't you start off with the first question for Stephen?
Absolutely. Stephen, it is such a pleasure to have you. For listeners meeting you for the first time, how would you describe who you are, not just as a filmmaker and artist, but as a believer?
Hey, how's it going, Kendra and Tom? It's a huge pleasure to sit down with you today. So I think as a believer, I think the description that you've provided fit very much my description as a believer. I am someone who's very creative, who I'm engaged in music and film and graphic design and digital design. And I think, and all of those things I see as being very compatible with my faith. And so yeah, I and a child of God ultimately. So yeah, I think that that description you provided there is spot on.
Great. What are some of your earliest spiritual memories that helped shape your identity today?
Well, Tom, one of the top memories that I have in my past is growing up as a child. We had this thing called family worship. And that was a time that typically took place in the evening, where all of our family came together and we would sing religious songs and we would open up an either inspirational book or the Bible and read some passages. And so that was sort of the bedrock of the tradition of my tradition growing up, at least in my home. And that was on top of going to church and things of that nature. And in that space, I learned to sing. Singing was a big part of it. And of course, I encountered several stories, Bible stories. And those things sparked my imagination. And that comes on top of other aspects. I'm not sure if you were just asking specifically spiritually, but, you know, other books. My mom would read creative books to me, novels. And all of these things sort of sparked, you know, my creativity, got my mind going and kind of, you know, started me down the path to where I am today.
You know, it's interesting. I'm thinking about this, that musicians, singers in several genres besides Christian started out in singing in churches and performing before Christian audiences. So it's the foundation of many Christian artists today is based in Christian worship.
Absolutely, Tom. And I would say not even just Christian artists, just artists across the board. You know, places of worship have been sort of the crucible, the training grounds for the confidence that a lot of big artists, both Christian and secular, that they where they learned to get they gained their confidence, where they learned that they have found where they found their gifts. And so yeah, that aspect of coming together sharing our gifts to enrich each other in a church setting definitely has a rich tradition.
I can definitely relate with a lot of what you're saying, but I'm just wondering, was there a moment in your childhood when you realized my faith is going to be the foundation of my life?
That's a good question, Kendra. What I would say is that it wasn't something that was just like that ever happened in just a moment. It was something that kind of gradually grew over time. Of course, or maybe I don't know how other people reflected into their journey when it comes to faith. But in my faith journey, because of the community that I kind of grew up in, I had a generally positive attitude towards my faith. There were some aspects about it that were I wasn't too excited about, but generally the community and the way that it was implemented in at least growing up had some positive aspects to it. And so, you know, generally growing up, I kind of cleaved to it at least to some extent. Now as I grew older, some of those values, I got into my teenage years, some of those values came into conflict with other things that were attracting me when I got out in school or among my friends. But generally, I went to Christian schools, and so I generally had positive feelings about that. And so when those experiences, outside of the home, came into conflict with my faith, it actually caused me to question. It caused me to test. And over time, I kind of heard God speaking to me. I kind of saw my life gravitating to certain aspects about my faith, and over time my faith became my own. I wouldn't say it was a moment. I would say that it's a journey that developed over time and over a course of experiences that just kind of deepened and eventually made my faith my own.
How did your family and your church community influence your creativity and worldview?
That's a good question. You know, I think like I mentioned earlier, my mom would read novels to me, and she would sit down and she would really be very animated as she was reading these novels. There would be some novels that they were sort of adapted for younger minds. And so I could kind of follow, great, novels of the past. And those novels and those stories, as she read them in a very animated way, those sparked my creativity. They took me to a different place. And, drawing was a big thing. I was one of those that, as a child, I was drawing in church. I was drawing Bible stories. Yeah, I would say the home that I grew up in and also the community. Like I said, I did go to some Christian schools. And one thing that we did, at least in the school when I was in high school, one thing that we did do is that we were always making up things. We were starting our own trends, the ways that we dressed, the things that we said. It was a very inventive and creative environment. And we were all into music. One of my first groups, that I joined or that I was welcomed into, we wrote all our own songs. And over time I became the you know, sort of the top, you know, pretty much the sole lyricist for that group. So I thought of, I think the community was inventive. It was, there was a lot of creativity, and I just grew up around a lot of creative people, and that had a major impact on, you know, the kind of confidence that I brought when I set out into the world myself.
You mentioned about how novels your mother would read to you. There's a whole spectrum of novels. When I think of novels, I think of those things that aren't quite so Christian. I assume that your mother's reading was all with a purpose and towards your value system.
Yeah, I would say that they were generally towards towards a purpose and towards a value system. Now, one thing I will say is that starting at home, and then this would become even more the case when I set out on my own, is that I was able to see my value system in different places that many Christians might not typically look to find them. So, and then of course, a lot of these novels and a lot of works of art that aren't quote unquote labeled as Christian, they're written by very deeply spiritual people that are thinking about the effects of, you know, thinking about the culture they're living in, the choices that the people that they live around were experiencing, and kind of writing sort of moral ideas about them. So yeah, I think I've, you know, there's a scripture that says, whatsoever is good, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is kind, think on these things. And that whatsoever, I kind of grew up with that, and that's become a big part of who I am. Whatsoever, wherever I can find it, you know, I find gems where, you know, God speaks to me, where my values speak to me.
Your mom, you mentioned her quite a bit, and it sounds like she took a great deal of time in rearing you, and maybe she had a sense of direction that she wanted you to go in, so I'm sure she instilled some of those traits and morals in you. Were there any particular SDA teachings or values that still guide your work today, maybe even in ways you didn't appreciate until adulthood?
You said SDA specifically?
Or Christian teachings that you grew up with?
Yeah, so I did grow up in a Seventh-day Adventist home. That was the denomination that my parents were also raised in. And yeah, I think a lot of the elements of what they shared with me are elements that, or that at least stuck with me and that are very central to me to this day, are elements that Christians across the board can relate to. And those are sentiments like love, justice, mercy, kindness, you know, temperance, being judicious with your time and with your money. All of these things were at least my parents, to the degree that they understood those principles, they tried to convey those to me. And, you know, I find that those values are values that people can appreciate across the board. Once you really experience someone that's kind, when you experience someone that love, when you experience love, when you experience justice, when people are treating you fairly or care about doing things in a fair way, that these are values that people across the board can appreciate. And for me, as having grown up in my faith and then having gotten to the place where I've had to question those things and test those things, I found that those values stand the test and the experiences that I've gone through. And I find that when you convey those types of values out among people who may not even share the same faith or have no faith at all, that they also likewise gravitate to those same values. So I think that, I'm not sure if that answers your question, but that's kind of how I kind of look back on my upbringing and those values.
Stephen, it makes me think of Daniel, that he was taken away from his family at a fairly early age, and those values were appreciated by the potentates of his time, the kings or rulers of that time. He was selected over and over again because of the integrity of his personality and his character.
Bingo. That is exactly right. That is, I think that that's a great story to kind of draw a parallel to what I've kind of found in my own life, that when you have solid values, they're values that are, they're not like values that are like copyrighted or something for Christians. These are values that everyone can appreciate. And I think that that's the way that I've seen my own faith, is that the reason why God is asking us. God is asking us to follow certain paths because they actually benefit us. They actually make our lives better. And that's genuinely what he wants. There's a passage in the Bible where Jesus says, "I have come that you may have joy and that you may have it to the full." So that is very central to my idea of life, is that my life is going to be full of lots of joy, lots of happiness, pleasure, all of these things, but in ways that are sustainable and constructive.
And that path has led me to my favorite portion of the interview. I could talk about this portion all day long. And it is also your biography is what prompted me to want to conduct this interview and for people to hear your testimony. So I want to kind of steer us into your filmmaking and professional life that kind of derived from all of the morals that you received growing up. So what first sparked your interest in filmmaking? And not just filmmaking, but professionally as a digital producer?
I'm going to go right back to those creative works that I was exposed to. Those novels that my mother read me. Also, there were film. You know, my mom and my dad, they allowed us to watch certain things either on television or on VHS tapes. And some of the best of those that I saw, those really sparked my imagination. You know, the creativity, the worlds that were built in these stories, and then also things like history. You know, I was a big fan of history growing up, and so watching things on Discovery Channel that spoke to, or History Channel that spoke to, you know, the history of civilizations. All of these things sparked my imagination. And you know, American history, you know, world history, all of these things got me into the craft, into the ideas of stories. And so really everything that I'm doing, whether it be through music or through digital design, is to convey a story and to convey the values and the feelings that stories are so good at you know, communicating to people in a format that makes it very accessible to so many people.
Well, Stephen, we have more questions for you, but this ends the first segment. We'll be back after this break to talk about Strong Tower Radio and our related public service messages. But stay tuned. We'll be right back.
This is Ruthie Calkins from Tustin. The Bible tells us that heaven will be the dwelling place of God's friends. That's why I'm so excited about supporting Strong Tower Radio. Their unique blend of thought-provoking speakers, stirring inspirational messages, and heartwarming music reaches into the lives and hearts of each listener, helping them to develop and cherish a friendship with God. If this radio station has been a blessing to you and your family, why not join me and hundreds of others in supporting Strong Tower Radio with a financial gift? They're 100% listener supported and could really use your help right now. You can send your check to Strong Tower Radio, Post Office Box 567, Cadillac, Michigan 49601. Or you can visit their secure website to use your credit card at strongtowerradio.org. Strong Tower Radio, where God's character is proclaimed.
We're back with Strong Tower Radio's People with a Purpose. We're interviewing Stephen Akin. He's a artist in multiple medias, and my co-host is Kendra Maynard, Kendra, I continue the questions.
All right, glad to be back. So, Stephen, you didn't do very much during high school, and it kind of veered you into college when you really started going. So can you walk us through, before all that, can you walk us through the moment you realized this isn't just a hobby, this is my calling?
You know, I have a lot of same answers to some of the things that a lot of my answers are related. The idea of a calling is just something that kind of came about gradually. I've always been, you know, I from as long as I can remember, I've been attracted to drawing things. I've been drawing. I've been engaged in music at home and in whatever creative sort of outlet that I could find, I was kind of engaged in it. And so over time, as I was starting to look for my major, what it was I was going to do when I got to college, you know, I came upon a major called multimedia, digital multimedia. And when I saw the things that I'd be engaged in, I loved it. It just seemed like something that I'd like to do. And so when I went to college, I studied various ways of creating digitally, whether that be creating audio, whether it was creating videos, whether it was creating websites. So I kind of learned all of those various disciplines. And when I came out of college, there was lots of jobs, and you know, web was a budding area in the job market. And so I got a job very quickly in that sphere. So yeah, it just kind of matured from one thing to the next, and it's proven to be a calling because I still love doing what I do.
So, Stephen, how do you balance your faith-driven creative with your spiritual responsibility in a secular setting?
I guess the way that I would describe it is less of a balance and more of a rocket booster. My faith is sort of a booster behind me, and it's like a booster, and it's also like a compass. It shows me a direction. It points me in a specific direction. It gravitates me, you know, via all the ways that it's educated me in my life towards a specific direction. And that is based on what I see in the world. If I see things that either aren't right or see some areas that could use my help, these are things that when God makes that impact on my life, I just automatically gravitate to certain things. I'm like, well, here's an experience that I had growing up, and this wasn't dealt with, and maybe it wasn't fair. Maybe it was something that was incomplete. Maybe it was something that I loved and I wanted to see more of it. And my faith oriented me towards those issues. And what my faith did is not only oriented me, but it put a booster, it put a direction in my life. So I began to pursue it. And God is the one kind of guiding me and helping me to do things that go even beyond what I thought I could accomplish myself. So yeah, I would see it less of a balance and more of a booster in all settings. In everywhere where I go, I think the values apply. And so wherever I find myself, I am doing the best. The Bible says, whatsoever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for man. So if God gives me something to do in a secular setting and I can see some good coming out of it, I'm going to pursue it with all of my strength and with all of my might.
Man, I can really attest to that and what you just said. And, you know, God puts in our heart, he said that he will give us the desires of our heart, and he sees us and our diligence. And I know that I can say, being a creative, in the projects that I've worked on in secular settings, they weren't all Christian. The Lord always honored. And even when it was hard, like a lot of productions were on Saturday, and I'm sure that you have probably run into that as well, but I never had to compromise my moral morals, God placed them so strongly in my heart. So hearing you and how much you talk about morals, and for our listeners that are listening, morals are so important. And, you know, I try to instill those. I'm a mom, so I try to instill those in my children. And they don't understand now, but they will when they get older. So, you know, I found you not only like your biography, and we haven't really talked much about how you're an animator, a web designer, a director, and you also work in post-production editing. And so when I found you through Hope Network. You happened to come on there. So as a visual artist, how do all of these lines intersect for you? Do all of them at the same time, or do you just pick different, like,
seasons?
Okay. Yeah.
Or periods?
There you go.
I would say all of the above. There are a lot of times just kind of crashing down all at once, and but there are some seasons where I'm doing a little bit more music than anything else, and you know, now my day job is you know, creative work, a digital creative work. So I'm usually making websites, apps, videos, animations. I kind of do that all the time. But there are seasons where I'm a little bit, you know, where music is a little bit more salient. But a lot of times it's just kind of juggling a bunch of madness happening at once.
Tell us a little bit about your journey as a gospel singer. When did you first discover your voice? I know you said that you grew up singing, but when did you first realize, okay, I have a talent for this. I can use this for the Lord.
Yeah, that happened. A key word that I would say is get gradually. But, you know, growing up, now I grew up, I was a kid in the 90s, right? So the entirety of the 90s was my childhood. And one thing that I loved to listen to was gospel music. There was a gospel music station where I lived, and I just loved the creativity, the pathos of that these singers approach their music, and I was really strongly drawn to that. And I also tried to mimic it. So what I would do is I would get a tape recorder, and I would record myself, and I'd bring my brother along, and he would sing along with me, and we tried to mimic these gospel artists that we were listening to all the time. And eventually, that's something that I just kind of did to myself and along with the singing at home. But eventually when I got to high school, I got to a high school where there was lots of creativity, and creativity was a big part, or music specifically. And music, having musical gift was rewarded. Coming out with that was rewarded. And since it was something I was doing at home, I kind of worked up the energy to kind of join a choir, to try to join a group. And eventually over time, as I got training, my talent began to bud and grow, and there are opportunities like recitals and you know, concerts that happened that just grew my craft. And eventually I started taking voice lessons, and eventually I started having the courage to pursue my own creative and musical ventures. So yeah, that's something that gradually grew over the course of just growing up.
Well, Stephen, is there a song that you either wrote or grew up with that still moves you spiritually?
Oh, man. I'm not sure I could ever distill it to just one song. You know, these songs just happens to be whatever moment or place that I'm in. There are some songs that a song by Brooklyn Tabernacle that I've sung is My Help. And that is a song that when I'm in a circumstance where I feel like the challenge is bigger than me, and I feel like the stakes are so high, that idea of lifting up your eyes to the hills, that's powerful, you know? And so that kind of gives me strength to get through certain moments. You know, there are other songs that, speak about God's love, speak about God's love for me individually, but also speaks about God's love for people, you know, over, you know, people that are overlooked. And those things inspire me, you know, to think about, you know, those that are in need, or to think about my, you know, my own needs, and to kind of look into all of those types of things. So I would just say that, I love a lot of different songs. And there are a lot of songs that, that either I've written or that I perform that I think speak to different seasons and moments in my life.
How would you say that you discern God's direction when choosing projects or creative opportunities?
You know, Kendra, there is a passage in the Bible. I believe it's in Romans chapter 12, that where God speaks about, where the apostle in that passage speaks about letting God's mind be inside of you. And that's kind of how most things, most experiences in my life, not all, but very most experiences in my life, it comes from somehow God training me, me being trained on my values, and then a particular desire comes from a fullness. That fullness just kind of becomes in my heart and in my mind, and it's like I've got to act on it. Jeremiah describes it as fire being shut up in his bones. You know, it's something that's inside you, and you see it, and you're like, I've got to do something about this. And then you just move. You may not have what it needs. You just say like something. All right, something. I see this. It's like God has given me His eyes, and now I see it the way that He sees it. And so now I'm like, I've got to do something about this, but I don't have what it takes. And that's where I have to. Where God's saying, you've got to go on faith. And so that just comes from having those values instilled, those becoming true to who you are, and then you have a sense of fullness of that thing, and saying that, hey, I've got to react, I've got to move on these values, on what I see, to make a difference.
Well, Stephen, when has God redirected your path? You thought you were going in a certain direction, and God made a U-turn for you, or maybe a left or a right.
Wow, man, that's a that's a crazy question. That question right there is I wouldn't say crazy, but it's a strong question. This has happened so many times. It's kind of difficult to pull a specific time out the you know, just kind of off the top of my head. But I can describe usually how it goes. Usually how it goes is I have an understanding about, you know, generally I have an understanding about what I think. I spoke about this idea of having a fullness. And a lot of times I'll move based on that fullness. And then over the course of moving, I discover something about the world. So I'm moving with a very limited understanding of how things are going to play out. And so I kind of learn on the go. And so that's an epiphany that just kind of happens, is that I'm moving in one way and I'm expecting God to be there. And then I'm realizing, oh, the world is the way that I want you to move is maybe not the way that you perceived it initially. I just wanted you to move, but the way that you perceived that you were going to be moving wasn't necessarily how you were going to move. Now you're going to be maybe doing some of the same things, but not in the way that you anticipated it. And so there has to be, I think, again, I'm speaking kind of abstractly because it's not something that can just kind of pull out one thing, but I think there needs to be an element in over the course of your life when you're moving, when you believe God is calling you to move, that you have to learn, be prepared to learn, right? You have to be prepared to adjust and to kind of pivot. God sends you out like Abraham. Now, Abraham is saying, oh, I'm going to have all these kids, I'm going to create this thing. It didn't work out that way. You know, it's just things that he didn't see children for a very long time after God told him to move and create this great nation. And that's the course. And sometimes he was trying to make things happen himself because of his own failed notion. And so there has to be an ability to adjust, an ability to learn, ability to be flexible when you're following God, because he's leading you And you don't have all the answers, but he'll give you the answers that you need to fulfill your purpose if you're willing to listen and to be malleable.
That is so true. Everything that you said, yes, you have to be flexible. A lot of times as people, like, we have it like, I want it this way and I want it to go this way. And then when changes happen, then, oh, it's a crisis. But you are so right. We have to be flexible because God does not operate as we operate. We are following his path, not our own, and he will never steer us wrong. Stephen, what do you hope people feel or understand when they watch your work or they hear your music?
Well, I hope they can feel, you know, I hope they can feel what I feel. You know, if there's a song that I'm singing, I generally, what I do when I'm doing music is I take some time and just listen to it. And I try to relate it to experiences in my life. And I try to also listen to what the artist is communicating and take in that lesson and see what that lesson means to me. And then once I've kind of seen it and I kind of see it, I'm like, oh, this is a powerful idea. And then what I try to do is I try to express that through how I sing the song, how I express myself, whether I'm moving with my body, is I'm trying to get people to climb into the experience that I have from my life, from where I've been, and the epiphany that I've gained, the love that I've experienced, the joy that I found, the redemption. I want to draw people and take people to that and help them see that, the hope that I have. I want people to be able to experience that. So I just hope that whatever song it may be, if it's a song about hope, if it's a song about heaven, if it's a song about redemption, if it's a song about people in need, I hope people can just see it the way that I see it and the way that God's, the vision that God's put in my heart. And that goes for my other creative pursuits as well, as I actually try to find ways to visually communicate to people and through the narratives, you know, the ideas, the feelings, the emotions that I'm experiencing when I'm engaged in any particular creative work.
That is so powerful. And, you know, I have to tell you firsthand, the Love Me scripture songs that you did with Hope Network, you conveyed that through your music, exactly what you said. And if people have not heard it, definitely need to go and check out the scripture songs through Hope Network. You conveyed exactly that, and they're just so powerful, and you can just see your love for Christ, and just, you know, it's just inspiring. It's wonderful. So you're doing exactly what it is that you were hoping to do.
Well, thank you, Kendra. That means a lot to hear that.
Well, Stephen and listeners, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back. We'll continue this interview. It's so interesting to understand the creativeness and sharing one's faith in the marketplace. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Strong Tower Radio, People with a Purpose.
Hi folks, Jelaine Fenner here. We are definitely living in uncertain times, and for some of us, it's scary. Signs of the times are everywhere. Jesus is coming back soon. Read Revelation chapter 22. Jesus says, "Surely I am coming quickly." We at Strong Tower Radio have a free book for you called The Great Controversy. Go to the back of the book and read chapters 35 to 42. It'll help you understand the times we're living in and what's ahead. This book even has 800 historical quotes and 1,200 Bible quotes. I love this book. Call Strong Tower Radio today, 231-468-2087, and ask for The Great Controversy while supplies last. And if we don't answer, please leave a message asking for The Great Controversy with your name, address, and phone number. That's 231-468-2087. On Strong Tower Radio, where God's character is proclaimed.
We're back with Strong Tower Radio's People with a Purpose. Kendra is my co-host. Kendra, I just enjoy finding out about people and kind of the behind-the-scenes approach. We see a polished performance, but there's a person behind that production.
Yes, you and me both, Tom. And this particular segment is very near and dear to me because anybody that's a creative, I love Christian creative at that, not just Seventh-day Adventist, but a follower of Christ. I love to just divulge down that road and just find out their story. So this is very personal to me.
Well, thank you so much for bringing this to our audience here. Before we went into the break, we were talking about the Love Me Project, and it's been said several times, and it's, I think maybe I've seen it on the Hope Channel, but let's flesh this out quite a bit. What is the objective of it? Who wants to start? Do we want Stephen? Because it's his program, so
absolutely.
Go ahead. Go for it. Tell us all about the Love Me Project.
Sure, Tom. So the Love Me Project is a project that is put on by a creative and very generous couple. That is Dr. Schubert and Yolanda Palmer. They are a couple that, you know, some years back, they decided they wanted to create this project where they were putting scriptures into songs. And they had connections with several Christian artists, and so they assembled a team of artists to kind of create some songs that initially they had written themselves. And eventually they wanted to expand that to more scriptures, and they brought on an artist named Neville Peters, and he is a prolific writer. And so he wrote, you know, several volumes of songs, several albums worth of songs that are scripture songs. And so he kind of took over the venture. So, and so after he'd written those songs, he had given them to, they had distributed them to the various artists, and I sang some of those songs. And you know, we've had the privilege of singing in the Capitol at the National Cathedral. We've sang at we sang in Cleveland at one of the big halls there, and in several spots around the country. So. Yeah, it's been great working with that team and working with Dr. Palmer and his wife. And and one kind of interesting little tidbit I will throw in there is that you know, over the course of working with them on this project, Yolanda Palmer, one of the the sponsors and also an artist featured in the project, she ended up introducing me to my eventual wife. So that was another nice thing that kind of came out of the project, perhaps my favorite thing.
Just people of the same spirit running in the same lane, meet each other and develop a life together. It sounds like it was
Certainly.
A wonderful, wonderful project. Has that project been completed?
I believe so. There might be other elements that haven't yet to be released, but you can find a lot of the project online, either on YouTube or on an outlet called Hope Channel that you mentioned earlier, their website, and also on the website of the organization, which is Love Me Bible Study, lovemebiblestudy.org. Where you can find and purchase and experience some of that music.
So this is the scripture in song. How much of the scriptures is incorporated in this project? Is it every chapter of the Bible, or the ones that were more given to lyrical interpretation?
I think they kind of approached their choice of scriptures based on ideas that they wanted to convey. So they would have some theme from the Bible, and they picked scriptures that kind of matched that theme. And then, you know, just almost like that's why it's called like Bible Love Me Bible Study, is that it's kind of like a Bible study through song.
Wow. There's different ways to meet different people, and music moves many people. So, Kendra, why don't you lead the questioning and starting off with our third segment?
So you have, Stephen, you have talked a lot about your upbringing and the road that the Lord has taken you down in being a creative and a Christian as well. I know that growing up, there was such a stigma over working in film and television.
Kind of like the devil's workshop
or
stepping over the line into an area that
right.
it might not be appropriate for Christians. But there's been more of maturity. We need to select. It's not across the board, throw the baby out with the bathwater. There is a place, in fact. I'll let you, as the professionals, Kendra and Stephen, talk about it. But there's a great opportunity to, this is where people are at. Why abandon, am I correct in saying, why abandon this to unchristian people? Put the message of Christ in the marketplace.
Yes, the Lord can use this as well. I know, Stephen, you can... Definitely agree with that. And so there may, I'm pretty sure we have listeners, you know, I wish there was somebody when I was growing up and navigating this, that it's not all about Hollywood. The Lord can use, you know, Christians and young Christians that are coming up to glorify Him in media. So what message do you have for young Christians and young Adventists who feel called to the arts but fear judgment or misunderstanding?
Well, what I would say to those, and thank you for that question, and I agree with the sentiment that you shared and Tom shared. What I would say to those young people coming up is to, I think I mentioned something earlier in a previous segment about how God's calling comes from a value that's within and it kind of fills you. And I would say go in to find positive outlets. And if there are none, you may have to just create them. You just have to have the courage to just do it by yourself.
Absolutely.
Be a pioneer.
Find ways. That's right. That's right. You know, you sometimes you're just not going to be able to find people that are going to affirm everything that you'd like to do. But find ways, creative ways that are in keeping with your values. If you can search, if you're not finding it, you know, in adjacent communities, like whether it be in your church or at home, if you don't have that, you know, look, it's easy to go online or to go or watch on, you know, various outlets to find something that says, hey, this is a great, beautiful expression of a certain value that I have that's done in very tastefully and creatively. And just familiarize yourself with it. Expose yourself to works that are good. I'll go back to that scripture. Whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is of good report, whatsoever is good or sustainable, think on these things. So it's a little bit of like a treasure hunt. See your life as a treasure hunt. Experience other people's works and get to know yourself. Go into yourself. And you'll find that sometimes God will give you guidance inwardly. He will fill you with His values. He will show you, and He will bring people into your life and bring you into community with people that will allow your talents to grow and to bud. But just be true to yourself, because you know a lot of times when God shows you something, just stick with it, and over time you will grow, and He will show you the ways and the avenues where you will find where that calling will find expression.
And that's it right there, following the Lord's promptings. And even if there may be situations that come about where maybe it's something that's like, well, this isn't exactly where I'm supposed to be going, but the Lord is leading you down that path for, like you said, opportunities and for ways for you to be able to glorify God and to get to where you're going. And that also goes back to being flexible. You have to be flexible and just listening to the Lord's promptings.
I like one of these questions that, and I thank you, Kendra, for producing this program and scripting much of what we're talking about. Young people will be watching something. If you take something away from somebody, you need to replace it with something equal to or better. And in the marketplace of media and production, we not only need to match the things of the world that may be not have correct values, but it needs to be a better product.
That's correct.
We have to go for excellence. How is creatives and artists explain that? Can you take what I've said and form it into your experience?
Oh yeah, that is that. I think you and Kendra put that down. That hits the nail right on the head, right? Think about the world that we live in as a marketplace. This is just to follow, piggyback on what you're saying. It's a marketplace. And, if you have an idea, any idea that you make, you know, even the scripture speaks about this and about the foundation, that every foundation that's made will be tested. And, so any idea that you have, you've got to put it out there in a way that people realize, hey, this is a better product. I feel happier when I engage with this. This is rich. This is beautiful. And this is a great experience. Right. And so, this is a marketplace. And what I would say is you've got to, if you have an idea or you have a passion, you got to put your best foot forward. You know, it's not like you can just throw something up and say, hey, look, you know, I'm doing what God told me and God's going to just fix it. You know, that's certainly not what we're taught about in the Bible. Bible, I think Kendra mentioned, Tom, you mentioned about Daniel, who was excellent in everything that he did. Right. So he didn't just say, well, God's with me, and so I can just kind of do something. And because the Lord's name is on it, that it's going to succeed. You know, he learned more than everybody else. He educated himself more than everybody else. He understood all the things in Babylon. Same with Moses, too. They understood everything that was there. They were as knowledgeable about everything. Solomon, you know, his wisdom, he knew as much as he could. I believe there's actually elements inside of the Proverbs that are taken from Egypt, from wisdom literature from Egypt. This is how far and how wide Solomon went in his search for wisdom to be able to inform himself. And so I think to kind of just put a stamp on everything that you're saying, there's got to be an effort to educate yourself, to develop your skill and your talent, and you got to be judicious. You can look at something and understand something and do it with a degree of with a critical eye, where you're saying, okay, this is good, but this isn't good. So I'm not taking that good. I'm going to cut that out, and that takes some growth. You know, that takes some growth and maturity. But you've got to be able to discern, right? The Bible says that there is a person who's of full growth, they have learned to discern between both good and evil. That's Paul wrote that. So yeah, you've got to learn discernment. You've got to learn to be able to pick things out, to pick the baby out of the bathwater, and then be able to present your ideas in the best form and format possible.
You know, let me, a thought has come as you've been talking. A fellow worker shared this thought, a truism. I like the word truism. It's something that applies whatever situation you're in. And scriptures is full of truisms that in the marketplace, history is written by those who show up. If we're talking in an older venue, but when you went to the video store, if there was no Christian session, it was all things that were not good, were not holy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
People, unfortunately, will go to a video store or surf a channel or do a AI search, and they'll look for something to do. We need to give them a choice worth watching.
Yes.
And not abandon this department, this field, this section of the media totally to the other side, of our God and Father, Jesus Christ. We need to have something there that is uplifting and rises above the filth of this world.
Yes, and nowadays, and I know this personally because I'm a mom, and every Saturday night, it's our family movie night, and we spend, I'm not even kidding, an hour looking for something that is halfway wholesome, yeah. You know, not even fully wholesome. And then you may find something and it's like, oh, okay, this looks good. And they're talking about God. And then they always seem to throw in that air, that poison, and it just poisons the whole thing.
Right.
So we can, you know, the stigma that's been placed on media, which is why I'm so passionate about it. We watch films. People watch films, not just documentaries. We need, as Christian creatives, to give them something that is pure and holy, and we can do that. And that's, you know, you can derive it from the Bible. How many Bible movies are out there that are actually true to form, true to the Bible,
not
word
just
for
in
word?
Title.
Exactly. You know, they, there's a lot of Christian films and shows that have just came out, and I'm not going to name any names, but they've just come out, and, you know, they're about the Bible. And then you watch them, and it's like, wow, this is really good. And this is, yes, this is what the Bible says. And then here comes that air, and that air will steer you right off the path. And it's like, they were doing so good. So, you know, this is just, this is so strong in my heart because we don't have very many.
Well, this wonderful hour of discussion is coming to an end. Stephen, will you tell our listeners about projects and how they can follow you now that they've been introduced to you? They probably want to do more.
Certainly. If you want to experience some of my music or browse my music, you can find me primarily on YouTube. That is youtube.com/StephenKin. That is spelled, my name is Stephen, spelled with a P-H, so that is StephenAkin. So if you go to youtube.com/StephenAkin, you should find my music there. Also, if you go to StephenAkin.com, same spelling, you'll be able to encounter some of my music there. And as far as my other creative ventures, I will say that you can find, you can see some of my work and engage with my digital production via profoundpixels.com. That is profoundpixels.com, profoundpixels.com. And that is where I run my production company from. So yeah, those are some spaces. And of course, I'm also, some of my music is also on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon. You just search Stephen Akin, and I should come right up.
Wonderful. Well, listeners, you've been listening to Strong Tower Radio, People with a Purpose, and Stephen Akin has been our host with Kendra, who's our producer, Kendra Mayer, and I'm your host, Tom Majeure, for the Strong Tower Radio Network. Bye now.